All right, good morning to you. I'm hanging in there. I went to the St. Louis Blues game last night, and I shouldn't be a baby about it because Carl Mittleman has to go to all those games and then get up and come in here to work.
Yeah, Mark, but I'm going to defend you on this one because Carl will then typically go take a quote-unquote five-hour nap, as he calls it. I say he's sleeping, but you don't often get a nap. So
yeah, this is true. This is true. So I was out late, got in bed probably, I don't know, hour and a half, 2 hours after I normally would, and I'm working on about 3.5 hours of sleep this morning. So I apologize for that. My voice sounds raspy. That's probably why I was screaming, "Let's go Blues!" last night. And they won in overtime, of course. My buddy says to me, "Just your luck," Lewis said. "We go to overtime in the game. You come and stay till the very end." So they won, which was good.
Yep, we needed that win.
Carl Mittleman, who plays all the music and hits the horn for the Blues, played several Van Halen songs for me. Played Mammoth Van Halen and Unchained for me last night, which I appreciated. That was great.
That's cool.
So he was taking requests, and we were having a good time.
You're just practicing for election night, because let's be real, are either of us going to get more than an hour of sleep on election night?
No, I have agreed once again to be on the panel over at Channel 4. So I guess I'll be on there again with maybe Gene Evans, who was on there the last time, and former Governor Jay Nixon was in there the last time. So it'll be, I'll either be very depressed at the end of the night, or I'm going to be gloating a lot as the evening drags on. Plus, Reardon will be anchoring our coverage here, and I'll be calling in and contributing as the night goes along.
Well, so. I mean, do we know? We don't know when we're going to get results. It could go well into the night. I mean, heck, it could take several. Gosh, it could take days.
Wow, could flip in the middle of the night.
It
if
could.
We're not watching
could, thousands
ballots.
Thousands of ballots could suddenly be cast right at the end.
Please, whatever you do, get out and vote early so you're not facing big lines on election day. I'll just say it again. It's worth it. I think on the next week, on the 22nd. Yep. What day is that? What day is the 22nd?
It's my dad's birthday. I think it's like a Tuesday or when. I should know this.
Okay.
It is a Tuesday.
Okay. So as of next Tuesday, you can vote in person, absentee, with no excuse in Missouri. I would encourage you to consider doing that. Find your location. There are more of them available in St. Louis County than St. Charles County, for example. So find the one near you and find an excuse to go over there and vote so you don't face long lines on election day and then not get to cast your vote. That's the most important thing, is that you cast your vote, even if you have to give up the exhilaration of going on election day. That's the one thing we need to wrap our arms around here. We're going to talk more about that and those expectations coming up with Elizabeth Pepko. She's the national spokesperson for the RNC. We'll get to her coming up in just a minute. Bottom of the hour, I'm going to get check in with our friend Ryan Schmelz. He's one of the reporters for Fox News Radio. And I brought you this story yesterday. I didn't see much coverage of it. I'm not saying they didn't cover it, but I didn't see much coverage of it in the mainstream media, where the crime statistics suddenly and quietly were changed for 2022 by the FBI late on a Friday afternoon. And if somebody hadn't been watching it, they wouldn't even have noticed. But it went from crime supposedly dropping 2% to crime being up 4%. So it was a 6-point turnaround, one of the largest in history. And we're going to check in with Ryan on what that was all about coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Of course, we got Kim on a Whim a little later as well. But right now, let's get to our top stories. Ethan, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
In my view, we should only do paper ballots hand counted. That's it.
Thank you. Elon Musk spreading the knowledge, and that guy's got a huge platform. He's absolutely right. Should be in person. We should hand count them. It's the way we always did it. You know why? Because this guy, who is a rocket scientist, doesn't trust computers.
At the end of the day, I'm Trump. Because my eyes open, I can see that he was doing a lot better than what we're going through right now.
Yeah, that's a Detroit barber. They went into a barber shop up in Michigan and wanted to find out what some of the African-American men were thinking about this election, and that guy didn't hold back at all.
We do begin this hour with breaking news. Right now, Israel trying to determine if its forces have indeed killed the leader of Hamas, Yahya Sinwar.
Yahya Sinwar is indeed dead. I've seen the pictures of the guy. It's circulating on social media this morning. A huge victory for Israel. And it may at least slow down Hamas. I don't know that it changes anything in the long term.
A major issue in this race is child care, and Kamala has put forward a concept of a plan. A lot of people don't like it. The only piece of advice I would have for her in the event that she wins would be not to let her husband, Doug, anywhere near the nannies. Just keep them away. That's a nasty one. That's nasty.
That was Trump at the Al Smith dinner last night in New York. One of the better ones, I thought, one of the better zingers that he got in yesterday.
Woo. Yeah, woo. He went there.
Well, he not only did he go there, I mean, that's what it's for. It's a roast. That's what it's for. They're supposed to be funny and honest and brutally honest, and the mainstream media has not reported on Doug Emhoff impregnating a nanny, and what's what led to his first divorce. And I mean, he's all pro women. Apparently he's pro nanny for sure. We know that about him. Nobody talks about it though. You should have seen Chuck Schumer. He looked like he just sat down on a hot stove as Donald Trump was telling that joke, like just dour and glaring into the audience. And you heard the scattered applause and the oohs and the ahs. And I was watching Archbishop Dolan's face, Archbishop of New York, of course, the local guy. And he even cracked a smile when he said that one. That is pretty funny, I think.
Well, you saw what Kamala Harris sent in, right? Her video with Molly Shannon.
Oh, I did hear that. I don't know if I saw it.
It's weird. It's odd. Yeah. Supposed to be funny. It's really not funny.
Well, she did that because she's losing the Catholic vote, which she should.
I guess so. Which would be more reason for her to go in person. That seems like a slap in the face to them that she couldn't make time for them to actually show up in person. She had to send some stupid video.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of pathetic. Well, she doesn't have the strength of her convictions. Everything she repeats, somebody's told her what to say. She doesn't have an original thought. Here was another Trump zinger from last night that I thought was spot on as well.
There's a group called White Dudes for Harris. Have you seen this? White Dudes for Harris. Does anybody know? Are some of you here? White Dudes for Harris. Doesn't sound like it. But I'm not worried about them at all because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me.
And
every one of those people is voting for me.
Chuck Schumer wanted to crawl under the table at that point.
How did that get arranged that he would sit right there?
I don't know.
He's
I don't
probably
know.
Like, please no, please no, please no.
All of Senate leadership, of course, he's the Senate Majority Leader, was seated to the right of the podium. I saw Mike Johnson there, Speaker of the House. I saw Chuckie Schumer, and there were several others on that side of the dais. And the Archbishop was over there too. It was good stuff. Those were probably two of the best singers from last night. And then the one from Jim Gaffigan. Go to cut 11 for us, please.
The media has begun discussing the phenomena of secret Trump voters. I don't know if you've heard about this. People who publicly say they would never vote for Trump, but then when they go in the voting booth, they do. It's a small group. They're called the Biden family.
Probably there might be some truth to that. Some members of the family, seriously, I could see it.
Yeah. Well, I think Jill hates Kamala Harris. I think
really?
She stripped her of power, right? She buried the knife blade between his shoulders. She has shunted them. She's said she wouldn't continue Biden policies. And, of course, she's lying, but Joe Biden does not. I'll guarantee you, I don't think she'd ever vote for Trump, but she may not vote for Harris.
Wow. Well, maybe she's the reason why all of a sudden Biden's been doing these press conferences at the exact same time when Kamala is, and then it takes away all the media coverage from Kamala.
Could be. I wonder what our next guest, Elizabeth Pipko, thinks about all that. She's one of the national spokespeople for the RNC. See, we're going to get to her coming up in just a minute.
Tradition holds that I'm supposed to tell a few self-deprecating jokes this evening. So here it goes. Nope. I've got nothing. I've got nothing. These days, it's really a pleasure anywhere in New York without a subpoena for my appearance. Unfortunately, Governor Walz isn't here himself, but don't worry, he'll say that he was. He's going to say he was. The only piece of advice I would have for her in the event that she wins would be not to let her husband, Doug, anywhere near the nannies. Just keep him away. That's a nasty one.
President Trump delivering his lines flawlessly last night at this Al Smith dinner. We've got Elizabeth Pipko with us this morning, RNC spokesperson. And Elizabeth, welcome in.
Thank you for having me.
The greatest evidence that I can give anyone that Donald Trump was on target last night is that this morning on MSNBC, Al Sharpton came out and said that his comments were offensive and off the mark. That's all the evidence you need.
That is all the evidence you need. I honestly thought the most offensive thing was Kamala Harris not showing up. Personally, that's where I said I thought Donald Trump was funny. I thought he was on the money. I thought he was incredibly relatable. I actually thought a lot of parts that were the funniest were when he was speaking, not reading his actual lines for the evening, but just kind of being Donald Trump. I really thought what Kamala Harris sent in that video was incredibly strange and uncomfortable, definitely not funny, almost more insulting than the fact that she was, I think, the first candidate to not show up to the Al Smith dinner in 40 years. I thought the entire thing was very strange, but Donald Trump was hilarious. And I think for those that want to kind of tell us that he's not funny, not the man he has been for his entire life, I think last night proved that that was not the case at all.
Of course, some people are going to sit there and say, oh, what he said was offensive. But I think a lot of people need to see this side of Donald Trump, that he's relatable and he's funny and he's the kind of guy that you want to have a drink with, right? Because that's what they say is so important, which is why Stephen Colbert cracked open the beer with Kamala Harris. I don't think people see that side of Trump as much. Do you think that that actually could help him in some way?
I do. Look, I have known that funny side of him for, you know, nearly 8 years now. I think it's almost comical to me when people try to pretend that that side of him doesn't exist. I think saying that his jokes maybe were insensitive is ridiculous because it's kind of what the Al Smith dinner is known for. I remember 2016 very clearly. I remember Hillary Clinton speaking. I remember Donald Trump speaking. I remember being very impressed with both of them and the fact that they could do this. I at that point realized that's a tradition that we had in our country. I didn't know that when I watched in 2016. I didn't know that that's what happened with every election cycle. I liked the fact that they could, you know, kind of jab at each other with insensitive jokes and then shake each other's hands and have the American people watch and appreciate that moment. So I don't think the problem is that he was insensitive. I think the problem is that people are choosing to point that out and kind of erase the last, I don't even know how many decades of tradition where this is something that has gone on every single election until this time when Kamala Harris decided not to show up, right?
That's a great point. Elizabeth Pipko, our guest this morning from the RNC. Elizabeth, Donald Trump has always broken the mold when it comes to how he campaigns. To me, it's evidence that the Democrats are in trouble and they know it, that he's taking time to go to places like California and New York City and do rallies in states where I don't know when the last time was a Republican won one of those two presidential races. Maybe Ronald Reagan, I don't know, in New York. He might have picked, I guess he picked up New York in maybe 1980 or 84. But still, I mean, Trump must sense something around the country.
Well, look, like you said, Donald Trump has always done things his own way. He has not shied away from being his own kind of candidate, kind of the opposite of what a politician has always been in this country. He's a lot less calculated in the sense that he has a gut instinct. He knows what he wants to do and what he wants to say, and he's more interested in that and how he believes that he relates to the American people than how any political consultant tells him he should or tells him where he should be or what he should say. He's always been that person. When it comes to these blue states, I think it's important people realize just how many people are showing up to the events that he has in these blue states. I remember people being so surprised when he was in New Jersey a couple of months ago at the boardwalk where nearly 100,000 people showed up. So I'm excited for Madison Square Garden. I'm excited for people to see the kind of arenas that he's able to fill in, the excitement that he has across the country, no matter what state he's in. And I'm excited, like you said, to watch those on the left be a little bit nervous, knowing that Kamala Harris probably couldn't fill out Madison Square Garden. And Donald Trump's going to have no problem doing just that.
That is very true. Elizabeth, I got about a little less than a minute left here. What are you guys asking for right now? Do you need donations? Do you need help this last 2.5 weeks?
We need all the help we can get because America is on the line, right? So if anyone wants to donate, we greatly appreciate that. If you want to make sure that your vote is banked and make sure everyone that you know is voting as well, that's what's most important. You can go to actually TrumpForce47.com to become a captain in your community. But early vote, make sure your vote is banked so we're not spending resources to get you to your polling location on November 5th. Bank that vote, get your friends and family, dog walker, neighbor, best friend, teacher, everyone to do the same thing. Go and vote. Make sure Donald Trump wins on November 5th because we need a landslide.
Yes, we do. Elizabeth Pipko, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
You bet. RNC spokesperson there, and she's absolutely right. Make them vote early. If you get somebody that waits till election day and there's 50 people in line because it takes an hour, you know some people are going to turn away and not vote. Let's not let that happen. Coming up, we'll talk more about the crime data. Stay tuned.
Helping St. Louis wake up. The Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Morning Show. On the air and streaming at 971talk.com.
Welcome back. We have got Donald Trump live on Fox and Friends right now with Brian Kilmeade and gang. We're going to cut and take some of that live.
First, there is, and we spend more money. And a lot of states, look, you know what's going to happen. The states that are well run now, like, I don't want to say specifically because, but you take Indiana. It's so nice. No debt, no debt. Everything is good. Our beautiful Iowa, right, that I win yeah. every time. Take every one of those states. So let's say out of the 50, we have close to 40 like that. Then you have the laggards run by guys like Gavin Newsom, who is, you probably won't do as well there, but they, you have to watch it a little bit more.
Right.
But no, if they want to get cute, then you don't send them the money.
So, Mr. President, we got a question from my home state of Texas. This is Don. He has a question about accomplishments.
Good morning, Mr. President. My name is Don Albright. I live in Katy, Texas. My question is, what is something that you did not accomplish in your first term that you would like to accomplish in this term?
Well, you know, we had a great first term. We had the greatest economy we've ever had. We had the strongest borders we've ever had. We rebuilt the entire U.S. military. Unfortunately, they gave a lot of it to Afghanistan in one of the worst times ever. I think the biggest thing for me in terms of government is get great people. I had great people. I had a lot of great, like Bob Lighthizer and Tred. We had great people. But I had a couple of clinkers that I would not want again. And I know, I didn't know, you have to understand, I was there 17 times in my entire life. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I'm president. I'm saying, wait a minute. And people are recommending different people. Of the people, usually we got it right, but there were some ones that we didn't get right. I now know everybody in Washington. I think it's been enforced. Mm-hmm. I know people in Washington that nobody ever heard
of. Now you'll be the most experienced president.
I think I'll be the most experienced guy. I know the good ones, the bad ones, the dumb ones, the smart ones, the loyal ones,
right.
the people that want to
run. What about the list of the dumb ones? Let's hear that.
Oh, I give you a list.
All the people that were involved.
Most of them are the people that I fired. You know, when you fire, you know, Biden has never fired anybody.
Mm-mm.
Never. He should have fired a lot of generals and a lot of people for Afghanistan, as an example. I took out ISIS. I promote people. I beat ISIS. It was supposed to take 5 years. It took 1 month. I did it in 1 month.
We
have unbelievable generals. We have unbelievable military, but not the guys like Milley that you see on television all the time. We have great people.
Are those generals fired when you do it? Because some of the people involved in Afghanistan.
Almost
still
every person that speaks right. badly of me. Look, firing. I know a lot about firing. When you fire somebody, you can do it nicely and take a year and just, you know, not working out, blah, blah, blah. I've done that. And I've done it. Get out. You're fired. Get out. And I've
I saw that on TV.
But can I tell you, it did quite well. So I've done it always. You know, at the end, when you get fired, you get fired. It doesn't matter. You might as well just do it
right.
quickly. And then if you're famous, like me, they read a book.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. the sleaze bags come out and they offer them $1 million to write a book. And then sometimes they'll say, I want to make it good. No, we're not interested in a good book. We're only. So I end up with more books than, you know, I just end up. And I end up with, it is true. If Bush fired somebody, nobody cares about Bush. They couldn't care less about Bush. I think you do. You like, oh, you like Bush.
Yeah. I do.
I'll use it. Let me use it differently.
Are you like W? You guys get along.
He's fine. Well, yeah, but I disagreed with what he did so much.
Right.
I just disagreed with.
So
I
you
did,
like
I really did.
Yeah, so you're listening to President Trump live right now. He's on the couch at Fox and Friends with Brian Kilmeade and gang and Ainsley and Ducey and all of them. I just want to let you listen. He's taking questions from Fox and Friends viewers. Listen.
Trump, I'm Daniel, and I'm 10, and I'm from Tennessee. What was
was your favorite president when you were little?
Who was your favorite president when you were little?
So I liked Ronald Reagan. I thought he was, look, I didn't love his trade policy. I'm a very good trade. I've made some great trade deals for us, the USMCA. Right. That wasn't his strength, but he had a great dignity about him, Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. You could say, there's our president, more than any others, really any of the others. Great presidents. Well, Lincoln was probably a great president, although I've always said, why wasn't that settled? You know, I'm a guy that it doesn't make sense. We had a civil war.
Well, half the country left before he got there.
Yeah. But you'd almost say, like, why wasn't that? As an example, Ukraine would have never happened and Russia if I were president. Israel would have never happened. October 7th would have never happened. As you know, Iran was broke. They wanted to make a deal. Mm-hmm. I told anybody buys any oil from Iran, you're finished. You know, you can't deal with the United States. Nobody was buying oil from Iran. They came. They wanted to make a deal. Now they have $300 billion in cash. Biden has been, and her, she's, I don't know if she was involved in it, but she's terrible. Hey, look, remember this. She was the border czar. She never went there.
Right.
She was the border czar and the border patrol. The one thing you have to remember, the border patrol gave the strongest endorsement that anybody's ever seen. He's the best there is. There's never been. He's the greatest president, the greatest at the border. And she's terrible. That was their policy. And these guys are great, by the way. These are great. You know them very well from the show.
Oh, yeah.
We got the best endorsement. And that really says it all. And I think the border is a bigger thing than inflation and the economy. You know, I watch your polling where it says the economy and inflation at number one, two. And then it says the three. I think the border is bigger. I got elected in 2016 on the border. I did a great job. I couldn't even mention it after that because nobody cared because it was fixed. We had a great border. Then they blew it, and I have to do it again. The difference is it's much worse this time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because that is President Trump there live on the couch with Fox and Friends, and you've heard some of that before. Maybe others you haven't. They're taking questions from some of their viewers. I assume this was planned in advance. I didn't hear them promote the fact that he was going to be on there this morning.
No. But what's interesting, too, is there's a little kid asking a question now, and I think it was a 10-year-old who had just asked him who his favorite president was, and he said, well, Reagan, even though he didn't agree with everything he did, especially as it relates to, I think he said, what, trade policy.
Trade.
But yeah, the dignity, I think, is the word he used to describe Reagan. And that was something that really stood out to him.
Yeah, I think it's always worth repeating that Donald Trump is not your traditional conservative.
Right? No,
he's not. And that's why I argue to people who are lukewarm on him that he's got different ideas. But nobody in my lifetime has accomplished some of the things he accomplished in terms of the Supreme Court, in terms of the border, fixing problems. The economy was humming along because he's a businessman. He's not somebody that was raised in government where you have an endless supply of people's tax dollars. That's the easiest job in the world. I'm sorry. It is. You don't ever have to worry about running out of money. You just go back and print more. And then you start up whatever program you want, and if it costs $3 billion, you just print $3 more billion, or you borrow it from the Chinese. It's pathetic. A good business person would never do that. If they do over-leverage themselves, then they're not in business anymore, right? Mm-hmm. So I think having that's why he was so successful in this. And nobody's out there saying this is the most conservative, greatest conservative. I think a lot of people would identify Ronald Reagan as that person for them.
Well, I mean, think about Donald Trump's take on abortion.
Yes.
He's far more, dare I say, liberal on that than I would be. I don't agree with where he stands on that. He's flip-flopped. I think he's trying to toe the line a little bit on that issue because he knows it's such a key, it's a sticking point for the left. And I think it's going to drive a lot of people to the polls who might not otherwise care to vote. And they will simply because that is at stake in their minds.
And some people are not willing to cut him any slack for that. But it's still a stark contrast. Even if you don't like his approach to it, and he's the one that gave it back to the states. You got to look at it that way. He's the one that appointed the justices who overturned the bad jurisprudence, the bad law that Roe was, and put it back to the states. You don't have to agree with him on specific abortion policy. That was a win. How many hundreds of thousands of lives will that save? I don't know. We have to keep making that argument. But in the meantime, the difference between his approach to it and Kamala Harris's, which is birth for any excuse, which is abortion for any excuse up until birth, is stark. The differences are stark. And if you go to church, if you consider yourself a Christian, I don't know how in the world you could go out in good conscience and vote for somebody who wants to take a life like that in the sixth or seventh or eighth month because of the mental health problems of the mother. And that's what Amendment 3 says very clearly.
Yeah. And I know you and I have talked about this a lot, but it's worth repeating. I mean, so many pastors have failed their congregation, priests who are not speaking out about this because they're sitting there saying, well, separation of church and state. It is worth me repeating. That was designed to keep the state out of the church, not the other way around. And if anyone tells you that that's not the case, they're lying to you.
I would agree completely. What are we talking about in Kim on a Whim?
Well, it's funny because I've been listening to what Trump's been saying, and he's this guy who's just bold, right? He's going to say whatever is on his mind. He has no filter, and he doesn't really care if people reject him. The problem is people are terrified these days of being rejected. And it's such a problem that there's this new trend where people are intentionally getting rejected to make themselves, I guess, get more comfortable with it. Very odd.
Sounds like my dating life. I'm just kidding. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Follow Mark on Twitter at MarkCox971. A clear view of the roads from the Window World Traffic Center.
Good morning to you. Well, there was an accident on eastbound 70 approaching 370. And looking at the Cordell and Cordell domestic litigation firm traffic cameras, they've had the left lane blocked, and that has created a jam behind it. So if you are eastbound on 70 and hitting a slowdown at 79, that's the reason. Okay, for some reason, the shot of that camera just went upside down. So it's hard to tell whether they got that cleared, but the jam is still there. Now, eastbound 64, a little bit slow at Clarkson this morning. Some moderate volume around Clayton, Warson, and then things open up. We still look good if you're headed in from Illinois on the bridges downtown. And 55 northbound looks pretty good from down south into the city. From the Window World Traffic Center, I'm Sue Thomas. 747 at 97.1, St. Louis's home for conservative talk.
Sponsored by Ulta Beauty.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
I don't know why so many people are scared to speak up about different issues they support. Maybe it's just fear of rejection, or they don't know how to respond, so they figure that it's just best to not even say it at all. But I guess fear of rejection is such a problem that there's now this trend that's gone viral on social media called rejection therapy.
Oh.
What it does is it encourages people to walk up to strangers with odd requests that you're likely going to get a no on. So I watched some of these videos yesterday, and some of them were, for example, a girl walking up to a stranger and saying, "Hi, could I borrow $100? Of course, the person said no. Or another girl had a dress on and walked up to the store employee and said, "Hey, can I have this dress for free? I can't afford it." Obviously said no. But the whole idea is that if they get enough rejection, they'll get practice with it, and then it'll become more comfortable for them, so they don't, you know, have so much anxiety the next time it actually happens.
This is the direct result of not being told no enough by your parents.
You mean gentle parenting?
Yes. Absolutely.
No,
I mean,
I
saw somebody say the other day, for a lot of people in my generation, the most terrifying sound was the sound of leather clearing 8 belt loops because you knew they were coming for you, right? Or your dad taking a willow branch and stripping all the leaves off of it because he told you no and you didn't listen. This is the anxiety of rejection. You need to learn those lessons early in life. And we're not teaching our kids that. Mm-hmm. Everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a trophy. I know you lost, but don't feel bad. No, I'm sorry. You should feel bad briefly because that should be your impetus to do better at it next time.
Mm-hmm.
Why have we dissolved into that? Some social workers have taken over the world. And everybody's got to be a winner and feel good about themselves.
Well, I think that's why so many people are scared to say, for example, that they support Donald Trump, because he's this controversial guy. And if you say that, then Well, you might lose friends. Us conservatives, I'm sure many of us, myself included, have lost friends over our political beliefs. A very good friend of mine walked out of my life. I've shared this story before. That's insane that it's come to that level.
Well,
but that's where we're at. So people just want to stay quiet. And that's the problem, is that you can't be too scared to be bold. I mean, come on, just speak truth. Truth and love, that is key. You can still say something out of love, but speak truth.
The leftists are driven by their hatred of Donald Trump. And here's where those relationships go sour. If you've got friends on social media who are posting negative things about Trump, challenge them on it.
Mm-hmm.
Challenge them. Post your own meme on their below theirs that counters what they said. Or like I did to my friend the other day, who wrote something about how horrible Donald Trump was, and I can't stand the look of his hair or the sound of his voice, and I just want it to be over because I'm a snowflake. And I posted, hey, listen to this. The party of tolerance speaks. Give me a break. You want to look me in the eye and tell me that a man who was born with a penis can suddenly wake up one morning and decide that he's a woman, but you can't take the fact that Donald Trump said something that hurt your feelings and insulted you one time.
Well,
get over it.
Let's also point out that they're the party of tolerance, but they only tolerate what falls in their category of acceptable terms. So if you don't support the trans community, all of a sudden they're not tolerant of you, right? In fact, you're evil and you're a bigot and all of these names that they throw out at you. I mentioned this book yesterday, Unoffendable, and I have not read it myself, but actually my church brought it up, and it's on my list of books I'd like to read, because that's part of the problem, is that people are so offended. And I think I hear people freaking out about a caption on social media on how to pose. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, just post it. You know, maybe that is good practice. Just stop flipping out about little tiny things like that and just be bold. I'm telling you, I started in 2021 when I lost my job at KMOV over the vaccine mandate. That put a fire under my butt. I've become more bold, and it is the most freeing feeling.
It's liberating.
It is liberating.
Liberating.
Speak out. Be bold.
And vote early and often for you Illinoisans. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk, speaking of Illinois, there are a couple of big issues on the ballot over there. I didn't cover them in my voter guide, but I'm going to talk about them with the Illinois Policy Institute right after the top of the hour. Stay tuned.